This conference is being recorded.
Hello, and welcome to the Heart Start to Your Week on Monday, April 7th, 2008. This Heart Start is change for change, and a change of heart changes everything. So we have a very special guest tonight, Rebecca Brown, who has taken our beginner course about, what, a year ago now, Rebecca?
It's about that.
Somewhere around there, a little more than a year ago, I think, actually. And just had this wonderful inspiration, which we'll share about tonight, that I wanted to share with all of you in the Heart Start. And Heart Start calls are free, as you know, by being here. We hold them every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m., a way that we like to give back, we being Fiera. What is Fiera? Fiera is two things. It's an invented word to describe a very tangible and real feeling, that great feeling you get when your arms fly up over your head and a yes to life flies out of your mouth, when you feel vital and alive and at the same time peaceful and content, when you feel in alignment with who you came to be here with and what you came here to do, and you're living that fully. That's Fiera. And it's a word that we created because I wanted to bring more of that feeling, first of all, to myself and to other people and ultimately to the world. I felt that if we could live in greater alignment in that way, that human impact on the world would be creative and constructive rather than destructive, and that as a species we would leave a legacy of a planet better off for us having been here rather than destroyed. And so Fiera, to meet that end, offers workshops and coaching and classes teaching people how to access the feeling of Fiera and the benefits it brings to their health, their relationships, their purpose, their contribution, through a system of tools developed by the Institute of Heart Math. Because it turns out that feeling Fiera comes from the heart and impacts the heart, the actual physical heart. Researchers at HeartMath discovered that when we feel good, not only does it feel good, it's good for us, because feeling good, and realize feeling good doesn't just mean, oh, everything's going my way in life. Thank goodness for that, right? Because, boy, it sure doesn't always. And it doesn't have to. Feeling good can be compassion in the response to challenge. It can be care in the response to things not going our way. It could just be self-care and compassion. So feeling good in that definition could be being at peace with or accepting something. Creates a uniquely ordered signature in the heart rhythm. And that ordered pattern in the heart then proceeds to influence the brain and the way we think, the nervous system and our vitality, hormones and our aging or the slowing of the aging process, the immune system, measurably impacting all of these things just from a shift in the heartbeat, which is why HeartMath says a change of heart changes everything. And tonight we're going to talk about what a change of heart is and how that change of heart leads to global change. Change in the areas where things maybe aren't going our way or where things aren't going the way we'd like to see them go in the world itself. So one of the things that I've really come to realize in both the individual monthly, month-to-month workshops we offer, which our guest tonight participated in, as well as our year-long course called Heart Mastery, is that all of these courses in teaching you to tap into the intelligence, the GPS, the guidance system in your heart that is already pre-programmed, like the GPS in your car. I just got a new cell phone that has GPS in it. Talk about magic, right? I was blown away. I'm like driving somewhere and my cell phone tells me, oh, you've made an incorrect turn. Recalibrating. And I thought, that sounds just like my heart. It was so non-judgmental. It was just like, oh, that turn won't take you where you want to go. But there's no judgment at all. Just recalibrating to help you get there quicker. So there's an intelligence in the heart that's programmed for your health, programmed for your fulfillment, programmed for your maximum potential to grow and express itself fully. And when you learn how to eavesdrop on the GPS signals the heart is sending all the time, then you can get there. In fact, it's always here, right here waiting for you. And so we teach people tools to tap into the intelligence of the heart. And part of the natural intelligence of the heart is that it knows intrinsically, just in how it's designed, how to both give to others as well as receive and nourish itself. And of all the things that we may touch on tonight, that perhaps, along with how the heart's intelligence sees things differently, a change of heart means getting a new view, yeah? Looking from the rear view mirror to suddenly looking out the front windshield, a new view, a change in perspective. That's really what the heart can offer us. And its intelligence, that shift in perspective, empowers us to be able to paradoxically and simultaneously feed ourselves and care for what's outside of us. It actually raises the question, is there really an inside and an outside? But in fact, if we're going to stay in this world of physicality, of course there is. There's the heart and then there's your toe, right? Well, the heart knows how to feed your toe and feed it. When the heart contracts, it sends blood to the body. And when it expands, it fills itself with blood. It knows how to nourish outward and nourish inward, how to give and how to receive in a perfect harmonious balance that allows maximum efficiency of both giving and receiving. Impossible to keep giving if you don't ever receive, yeah? And yet hoarding, imagine if the heart never pumped blood out to the body but only received blood. What would happen? You'd die, right? For one thing, it would just fill up with so much blood that it would explode and it can't hold the full volume of blood in your body. But also then nothing else is fed. So hoarding doesn't work because we are sustained by the environment that we are in. And therefore we must sustain the environment to sustain ourselves. And the heart already knows how to do this. It's what it does every day. It sustains the environment that it's in, and it feeds itself from both. And that's heart intelligence, truly a brain. There's been a brain that's been found in the heart. And when you learn to tap its signals, which we teach you how to do in our beginner course, how to really eavesdrop on that communication and intelligence in the heart, it can guide you to live in that way of sustaining what's around you and feeding yourself from that and therefore being sustained by it. And Rebecca's story, for those who read the invitation to the call tonight, so illustrated and captured the magic of that. I just really want to acknowledge you, Rebecca, that this story you brought us so perfectly embodies the essential gifts of the beginner course. And I know this all unfolded for you shortly after you took the class. And so I just really want to acknowledge how you embodied everything you learned and it became actual through you. And so I welcome you so much to the call tonight and look forward to everything that you have to share and bring. So Rebecca Brown, who I have known for, I think we were just established about 4 years now, huh, Rebecca?
Yeah, about 4 years. Maybe three and a half. I'm not sure. Three and a half, maybe.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere so, in that area.
Although I have to say, it feels more like a lifetime. In the good sense.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
And so, as those of you who read the invitation know, and some of you may not have, I got this phone call a little over a year ago from Rebecca saying, I got it, I want to do Change for Change. And I was like, huh? What? Okay, what's that? So you want to take it from there, Rebecca? Tell us what happened for you.
Well, my mother used to, every time she saw a penny, she would prance on it and say, I'm rich, and be so excited. And for, you know, a good portion of my life, I would roll my eyes at her, you know, especially, of course, when I'm 13, you know, or so. And then, you know, I'd been with Jeff, who's now my husband, as of about a week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And he rarely spent his change. He'd have these piles of it in all of these places. And so I'm looking at these things, and I had known about what Sheva had done with Nicaragua. And I heard him say, I had read this thing online. It was on Yahoo, and it had succeeded. And I had
wait, Rebecca. I don't know if other people, if your phone cut out for other people, but I didn't hear the last few words you just said. Can you say that again?
Oh, okay, sure. And so I'd had these sort of two sort of different experiences with change. One who doesn't tend to spend it, and one who leaps at it and says, "I'm rich." And I read something on Yahoo that talked about that the most generous, the people who give the most to charity are the people in the lower SES, the lower socioeconomic status classes, or in the much higher SES classes. And I started wondering, well, why could that possibly be? And I haven't seen a lot of research on that since. But it intrigued me that, does that mean that the middle class doesn't give as much? And I considered it in my own situation, and I sort of gave a certain amount every month but wanted to do more, and thought about how I budgeted that and how could I create a situation in my life where I constantly saw ways to give that were really, really easy. And not long after that, I saw my mom prance on a penny again, and it hit me that I was going to start getting and having every bit of change I could and give it away. And the changes that ensued from that were amazing to me, because I started getting excited over pennies. It didn't become something that was just a piece of a dirty penny on the ground. It became something I got to give to someone, and something that was worth so much more in Nicaragua, and something that would lead to something that was important. And it was the way that I got to give a gift, and it was instant joy, you know, too, that I got to be that excited over a penny, because it wasn't that I was saving for a new pair of jeans. It was that I was finding an effortless way to give to someone who really needed it, and it didn't lead to any feeling of lack in my part. It was the way I always heard the song Pennies from Heaven by Irving Berlin. It was a gift from the universe that allowed me to give. There was this instant gift out of nowhere that allowed me to give, and I started seeing how many other ways and opportunities there are to give, if even tiny, tiny things all over the place, and how many things I'm given. And even in planning my wedding, I once walked into a store and I was parched, and this man gave me a free iced tea, and it felt like a huge gift because I was so thirsty. Or the wedding person where I got my cake didn't upcharge me when I needed more slices, I suddenly felt like everyone everywhere was giving me much more, and I couldn't tell if it was me or if the world was giving me more or if I just noticed it more. So I collected these for over a year, and I even told people about it, and people would get enrolled and give me their change, and I took all my change to the bank, and I was actually disappointed when I only had the exact amount I had was $126.06, and I thought I thought that Sheva was going to be disappointed or something, and then I got this other additional fantastic lesson where it occurred to me that how I'll actually judge what I give, what I give to people, and a gift is just that. It's a gift, and it's so wonderful to have something to give. Like, even the ability to give is this fantastic, beautiful, wonderful gift. And that I had something to give was also a great gift. And so I also found other many effortless ways to give. My wedding registry, the first thing I asked for was that people donate to the Fiera Foundation, and I also I did one other charity as well to give them options. But it was another really effortless way to offer abundance out of this love that I had found in my life that was so abundant because I just inherited all these additional friends, and so much of life just seems to be expanding and growing. And I really do feel that these pennies helped to create that they were this sort of this shift that every day of my life I was searching for pennies, and that it was a constant thing, and it was something that was present in my everyday life. And so in that way, it was a habit. It wasn't something that I did when in the moment that I had distress. It wasn't something that I did to shift in the moment where I didn't feel good. It was something in my everyday, every moment awareness. Every time I entered a parking lot, or every time I looked at the floor, and even a surprise moment where they suddenly appeared. And so it didn't even come out of distress. It came out of joy. And I think that it was such a huge gift for me because it really changed the way that I lived my life. And then these poor little girls got to see marble floors and get shoes. And
okay, well, let's tell that story a little bit, because we'll have people who listen to this who haven't read the invitation. So I'm going to dive in and just add a couple things here. Are you good with that, Rebecca?
Please do, please.
So one of the things I just want to put a spotlight on is this change of heart that occurred around what a penny is. And always we want these heart start calls, which are our free gift back to you, to the community, to be of value to you, the listener, for this to count for you. And just point to yourself for a second. You're on the phone. No one can see you, so you don't have to feel foolish. And notice where you're pointing. When I work with people all over the world, from 5-year-olds to 95-year-olds in kindergarten classrooms and nursing homes, I can ask people to point to themselves, and no one ever points to their toe or their navel. They don't even point to their forehead, right? They always point to somewhere around the center of their chest. The heart. So you, for you, at the heart of you. And tonight is going to count for you. Maybe a count for you, with more pennies, I don't know. What I want to invite you to do is just pause for a moment and look at your own life. What are the pennies that you overlook? Right? Because imagine Rebecca a year and a half ago walking through a parking lot, and either she wouldn't see pennies there, right, Rebecca?
Not even a little, yeah.
Or if she did see them, she'd purposefully not pick them up because they're, tarnished and dirty, and who knows whose fingers have been on that or whose shoes have walked over it, right?
Right.
It's something not to bother with. It's valueless, and if anything, it could be contagious. Right? So to go from that aversion and ignoring to a playful, joyful engagement and dance with the exact same thing that brought your heart alive on a daily basis in your own life, impacting other areas of your life besides just your parking lot experience, right?
Absolutely, yes.
That's the change. Here we are inside of a huge pun, right? That's the change in perception that's possible for anything. Because your heart intelligence sees the intrinsic value in everything and is able to pull the value from that. So what relationship is the tarnished penny you won't touch? What part of your body image is the tarnished penny you won't touch? Where do you have a lack of full appreciation for the things in your life? What are the pennies that you're ignoring or avoiding? And just for yourself, take a moment. If you have a notebook with you and a pen, write down what comes to you. What are the things inside yourself, about your own personality, about yourself, about your spouse, about your kids, about your home, that have no value to you? And then let's just take a moment to put our collective attention on the area around the heart. And just to breathe in through the heart and out through the heart. And activate a sense of appreciation, not for anything on your list necessarily. Just what is something you truly do appreciate? What are the $100 bills in your life? What are the $1,000 bills in your life? What are the things you really value? And breathe that gratitude, breathe that appreciation in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart. And then from this place, now what you just did, activating appreciation. Remember, heart math research tells us that creates order in the heart rhythm. And that order in the heart rhythm is like a tuning fork that quiets static in the brain. And in the beginner course, we teach you specifically how to access that, that state that people call the zone. And the quieting of static in the brain and the opening of the higher brain and perceptual centers that, you know, they say that Einstein used more of his brain than most people. Well, you can tap the power of the more of your brain with the heart. That's what you just did by activating appreciation. So do it again. Breathe in through the heart and out through the heart. Activate appreciation. Now, turn your attention back to this list of things that are the tarnished pennies in your life. And just see if they look different to you now through the eyes of the heart. And take a moment to write down, if that thing could have value to you or to our world, what value would it have? How could you bring out the value in your own tarnished penny? And just make a little note next to each one. How could that be of value? So Rebecca's tarnished pennies, as she looked at them through the eyes of the heart, became an opportunity to possibly give someone else a joyful experience. And Rebecca, one of the things that I remember when you called me the first day, you were very clear. You said, I don't want the change that I collect to go for anything, any necessities for the children in Nicaragua. Now let me just, for those who are new to Fiera, say that Fiera, again, which is this training company that teaches people to access and tap the power of their heart to feel better more often, also has a foundation, a nonprofit organization called the Fiera Foundation. And the work of the foundation is to communicate to all of you that your care counts, that caring for others is a source of Fiera. And we have orphanages and hospitals that we run in Nicaragua, which is the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And so we open up windows of opportunity for your heart and your care and for you to experience your care running through you by serving those places and those people. And so, Rebecca, when you called me and said, I want to collect change and send that change to the kids in the orphanages and on the streets of your programs in Nicaragua, but I don't want it to go for their necessities, like food or shoes or clothes. I want it to go to their fun, to their Fiera. Do you remember saying that to me?
Absolutely. I wanted them to have something that was strictly a good, just a good time. I wanted them to just have a party, you know? have just a really, one of those memorable, incredible experiences that you never forget because it's so emotionally ingrained because it was so much fun.
Yep, that was your intent. And I said, okay. You know, because usually or often, you know, when you're dealing with kids who have never owned shoes and you're pulling them out of a brothel or, you know, you're really, so much of our focus is on getting their basic needs met. We do train them in heart math, by the way. That's part of our mandate and empower them with these tools. And Rebecca was like, I want to give them feeling reference points of what it is to really feel loved and fabulous and great. And one of my friends defines miracles as something that occurs beyond your ability to imagine that it was possible. And so you wanted to give those kids that kind of experience, didn't you? And that was really your heart's intent, right?
Yeah, I wanted them to have just the most joyful experience they couldn't imagine. Yeah.
They couldn't imagine. Love that. And so then Rebecca proceeded to go off and collect this change for a year and have her own little party every day in parking lots. So already generating more Fiera in the world just by experiencing it herself, right? Meanwhile, I completely forgot, to tell you the truth, that we had that conversation. And so a year later, I get a call from you that's very, you sounded like Eeyore, or like, you know, one of those puppies with the floppy ears that fall over their eyes.
That's terrible.
You were like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, what are you sorry about, Rebecca? And you said it was only $126. And I was like, what was? And you were like, the change, for change. I was like, oh, I totally forgot. Right? So here I was like, oh, wow, great. The foundation has $126 we hadn't counted on. And you were like, it's not enough.
And that was, you know, and that's where you're like, and I was prepared for another shift. Because, you know, I spent this year where, you know, I feel rich every time I find a penny. I mean, how can you find lack? You can find a penny pretty much every day. You'd be amazed. And And it just transforms your life. This does not have lack at that point. And lack hurts in the body, but feeling rich doesn't. And so, and yeah, and actually my health improved too. and then you tell me, and then I have that shift of that feeling of efficacy, that feeling like that my gift is huge, that when you give, it's huge, and you don't have to judge it or the size of it, that the act of giving is such a gift to yourself and a gift to the world and a gift that I wish I could say it better, but it was a huge, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to
cherish
yourself for giving, you know?
From the heart's perspective, the things that are small are actually big. The small choices, the inside unseen choices. And the big choices are not so big, you know, like where am I going to live or what career will I have or who will I marry? It's like what's more significant is the change inside, not the change outside, because the change inside is really what determines your experience of anything outside. And one of the fundamental things that I'm loving about hearing your story is you didn't realize that your change for change was going to be change for a change inside you. You didn't expect the change for change was going to be a better health for you, more fun for you, more flow for you. Your intention was to create that for kids in Nicaragua, right?
Yeah, but it created more of a sense of my own ability to give in the world. All of my own abilities have more dignity, inherent dignity, as Kant would put it, or everything has more efficacy.
Yeah, so beautiful. And that's,
I put value in it because I have the opportunity to give it. And that is a gift.
That's it. If you were going to put it in one sentence, it's we put value into life when we put our heart into it. Exactly. You gave those pennies value. And then you got your second perception shift, didn't you? When you said, it's only $126. And I said, $126? You know what we can do for kids in Nicaragua with $126? And so what happened is we stayed true to Rebecca's intention to create an experience for kids there that was not just part of their protocol of need, of necessity, like paying their psychologist or buying them shoes or getting them school books or feeding them. What we did is we took four sisters who we found a year and a half ago living in a concrete shell without a roof. And these four sisters, they were between the ages of 4 and 9 when we found them. And their parents, totally impoverished, didn't even own this little concrete box where the girls sort of hid during the week. But they were squatting there, and the parents had to work in the city doing domestic service. And so the parents would leave the girls alone for 5 days at a time. And for those 5 days, the girls had little or no access to food or water and no adult supervision. And then the parents would come home on weekends and bring them food and water and be with them for the weekend and then go back to the city to work. And then during the 5 days during the week, the girls were left to their own devices in this little concrete shell in the country. Now, I don't know if you can imagine little girls living by themselves in this concrete shell without water in 110 degree heat every day. And when it rained, it just rained on them. There was no roof on the building. So when we found them, we brought them immediately into our program, and each one of them has a sponsor. The Fiera Foundation's program has sponsorships where $50 a month will provide schooling, food, school uniforms, clothes, medical care, all the basic needs for a child to meet their full potential in Nicaragua. And so immediately, it was not hard for us, as you can imagine, to find sponsors for these girls. Those of you who got the invitation have their picture. They're just cute as anything. And so we were able to get them in school during the days of the week, so they had adult supervision, and they also had food and water and school uniforms, but they'd never had shoes, and they'd never had dresses of their own, and they'd certainly never been to the city. And so with Rebecca's $126.06, is that what it was, Rebecca?
Yes, 6 cents.
The psychologist that we have hired to work with the children in the countryside was able to bring the girls into Managua, the capital, for the first time ever in their lives. And I have to imagine they've been sleeping on a dirt floor and living just in a really arid countryside, never seen a building more than two stories, right? They're coming into a capital city with malls and fast food and gas stations and things these girls had never seen in their wildest dreams. And yes, they loved the marble floors, and they particularly loved the escalators, apparently, so I hear. They really liked the mall. And we purchased them brand new clothes. They got shoes for the first time, and then they were taken to a restaurant for the first time in their lives and given permission to order anything off the menu that they wanted. Now, I don't know if you could fathom what that would feel like if you've lived for days at a time without food. I'll tell you this. Actually, this moves me to tears. When I was there when we found these girls. I was actually in Nicaragua. And I met them shortly. We were filming a documentary, and our director is the one that found them. And then shortly after that, he asked me to go play with them. He wanted to shoot some scenes. And I just walked up to them, and they invited me into their concrete home as if it was a palace. And they offered me a feast. They said, here, would you like some chicken? And here, let us give you some tapioca pudding. And we ate this pretend feast in their little concrete shell. And they were the happiest children I've ever met in my life. They perceived no lack because this was the only experience they had known. And being with those girls that day moved my heart so deeply, because they had nothing and they offered me everything. So we sat and ate our pretend feast. So imagine what that was like for them when they got to go to a restaurant and really order anything they wanted off of the menu. They felt so proud in their shoes and in their dresses and having somebody bring them food at a table. The psychologist that took them on this adventure told us that she really felt that this whole experience had completely changed their lives and their perceptions of themselves. And so Rebecca's $126.06. I mean, imagine, right? That's probably just a month of Starbucks for somebody. Not even. Completely changed the lives of four girls and their perceptions of themselves. That is definitely change for change, for change, for change, for change that you created there, Rebecca. Anything else you want to add to that? And so, of course, then when you got to see that it wasn't little at all, just like a penny isn't little if you make it have value from the heart.
Well, it's really neat. And my mom's so happy. Like I said, she's an inspiration of Penny Joy. and they're just not pennies at all. It's all completely created because there's joy when you find them and joy as you amass them and joy when you give them and then joy in what they create there. And also because of how far-reaching it was in that the curiosity it developed in the teller at the bank and that I told people about it, and now it's on this call. And so it just feels that it's a far-reaching joy, too. And
yes, and I've got three emails from people today who've said, oh, they're joining in and they're collecting change and they're enrolling other people in their communities to collect change to send to the kids. So it absolutely is. It's viral.
So it's quite fun, and I just it's probably the most joyful way that I think I've ever given, because I've, like I said, it's so different than when I was like budgeting and figuring out how much am I going to give every month and that sort of thing, because each one was just sort of this gift. And while I intend to give in all the ways I've given before, it kept me open to finding these new and additional effortless ways to give, and reminding us of the other things we give, like when we give someone true gratitude and true appreciation and true praise, and all of these tiny things that we give every day in life. Mm-hmm. And that by always being on the lookout for this, it shifted so much in so many ways in my life, because it wasn't a shift when something was wrong. It was a shift in every moment that was really a deep change, and much more than as soon as I was a mess. And I think that was the biggest gift for me.
Mm. Well, let's open up the call in case anybody would like to share their own story or ask any questions. And if you've muted your phone, make sure to press *6 to unmute if you want to ask Rebecca a question or share a story of your own. Or maybe someone just joined us and did mute. I can never tell whether people are muting or unmuting.
This is Becky Fisher. I just unmuted. This is a wonderful story, and it's really inspirational. I thank you for sharing. My comment doesn't relate specifically to this story. I just wanted to share that I'm continuing to use the HeartMath tools and the M-Wave, and that I've noticed another particular thing I wanted to share, that I had been having trouble working everything I'm trying to do into the day, and at the end of the day, one day I realized that I hadn't used my M-Wave yet, so I took it to bed with me and just used it right before I fell asleep. And one of several things that I one of my challenges is PTSD, and even with considerable medication to fall asleep and still groggy to wake up, I have nightmares all night long. And I woke up the next day and realized that for the first time I could even remember, I didn't have any nightmares. I usually wake up just feeling exhausted, like I've just worked all night long and just all these nightmares. I had no nightmares at all. So I started doing it as a regular practice, and I don't have any nightmares when I use it when I go to sleep. And then also one other thing, just a challenge I've noticed for myself that I've picked up from Sheva as something that to do, that you've shared several times in your calls about giving the compassion to yourself from your heart. And whenever I get it going on the green, on the high coherence, then I try, a lot of times I forget to put myself first, but I try to give it to the world and to other people I love and things, but I try to always include myself, and sometimes I remember to try to do it first. But when I do that, it instantly goes way down, and so that's just a particular challenge that I have when I try to give it to myself. My coherence goes down, so I just wanted to share that.
Mm. Yes, our Heart Mastery members have been playing with appreciating themselves, and of course, yeah. You know, the way you build your heart muscle is you move, or any muscle, is you push against resistance, right?
Right.
So for whatever reason, in a culture where original sin is the collective perspective, we see ourselves as, in many of us, with a lot of
selfish,
unforgiving, right? As fundamentally wrong, originally flawed. And so appreciating ourselves, having compassion towards ourselves, this can be a challenge, yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's so selfish or undeserving.
Right, yeah. And so that is for you the the tarnished penny that have gold in it.
I did think of that, yes. But I also wanted to share the powerful results from the M-Wave too. And so
yes, I love it that it's helping you to sleep better. And as a matter of fact, last year, HeartMath focused an entire campaign on the M-Wave's benefit to sleep because it's so profound for people with insomnia or other sleep disorders. The M-Wave is like a night and day difference for them.
Also, I did get to listen to a HeartMath interview with Howard Martin, and he, at the end of it, they said, what is the one thing you'd like to leave our listeners with? And I'm pretty sure he was one of the co-founders or the executive vice president, didn't he co-author one of the books or something? I have trouble keeping some of that straight. But the thing that he said, they're working on a global sort of GPS thing where they're actually positioning things all over the world, sensors for coherence, and asking people to sign up for it, where they're actually literally monitoring the coherence around the world, and when it raises or lowers, trying to figure out what's changing in the world. And it's fascinating. And the thing that he wanted to leave people with was that he was asking everybody, if you do nothing else, to please take 5 minutes a day and sit down and close, try and, you know, do the way you start the calls and just, you know, breathe through your heart and try and get centered and as coherent as you can, and then send that to the entire world. And he believes very, very strongly that that one thing can, you know, really, really help to totally transform the world. And I thought that was amazing, and I've been trying to do it myself, and I wanted to pass that on.
Beautiful. Thank you. Fabulous. That is the ultimate change for change. Getting coherent and deep in the heart ourselves and radiating that to the world for global change. There it is. That's what FIERA is all about.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Becky. Rebecca, is there anything else that you want to say to complete the call tonight for our listeners?
I'm done.
Well, you brought us so much. There's no need for more. I just wanted to give you a chance to say goodbye to everyone. And thank you all so much for joining us tonight. And, of course, thank you, Rebecca, for inspiring change for change. And I have the feeling that will be now a lifelong FIERA, a component of FIERA, is the Change for Change program.
Thanks for having me, and I just it was such a great experience, and it was such a tiny thing that made such a huge impact, which you very much pointed out how these small things do that. But it was such a gift for me, and so I'm so happy to share it. And I think that I'd really love for everyone to start doing that as well, because I think that it would be a huge donation base for FIERA, and it would also be such a gift for everyone doing it. It's so much fun. So I'm really excited about what it did for me, and what I think it would do for Nicaragua, the children there, and the FIERA Foundation as well.
Well, thank you, Rebecca, and thank you everyone who joined us. If you're interested in more information, or have questions or stories of your own that you'd like to share that you didn't have time to share tonight, or you're listening to this as a recording, you can reach us at 310-581-1507, or you can email us info at FIERA, F like fantastic, YERA.com. And if you go to FIERA.com, the website, there is a free webinar there that you can watch on the homepage, which is an introduction to our courses. And there's also all of these free Heart Start calls archived at Fiera.com/heartstart.html, and you can download those for free. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and I look forward to joining you next week for the Heart Start call. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.